thou still unravished bride of quietness, thou foster child of silence and slow time, sylvan historian who canst thus express a flowery tale more sweetly than our rhyme, what leaf-fringed legend haunts about thy shape, of deities or mortals or of both?
You are listening to the voice of Vincent Price reciting Ode to a Grecian Urn by John Keats, a page from this afternoon's edition of Anthology. This is Fleetwood. Each Sunday at 3, WNBC, in conjunction with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA, 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan, brings you Anthology, a selection of readings from poets past and present, and the music to accompany their poetry. Our guests today, by transcription, Vincent Price, and from the Old Vic Company, Maura Shearer, Robert Helpman, and Stanley Holloway. If you'll excuse me just a moment while I mind my manners, I'd like to thank Gene Hamilton for tending shop while I spent a few very wonderful weeks in Europe. A considerable amount of mail arrived while I was away, and since most of it concerns the Edna St. Vincent Millay program, suppose we tackle that problem first. As of this moment, there's still no decision on the status quo, or rather, price quo of the recording. All sorts of plans are in the air, and we hope we'll be able to land something concrete in the way of a decision by next week. A card reading the Macmillan Company on top and signed M. Morgan. Gentlemen, I tuned in a little late today on a poem about England. Please say why you don't consider the late comer. What was the poem, who wrote it, and who was the speaker? Wouldn't it be as easy to announce these after as well as before the program? I look forward to the answer. Well, the answer simply is that very often it's a question of time. We feel we give each poem a clear and concise introduction. Many times, in order that the poem may be read in its entirety, we haven't time to repeat the information again at the end of the program. I'm sure you appreciate our situation. As for the information you requested, the poem on Anthology last week was The White Cliffs of Dover, the poet Alice Dewar Miller, and the speaker, Miss Lynn Fontan. Issued first over a decade ago, the top brass at RCA Victor have alerted us that the poem will be re-released very shortly as an LP album. And since the White Cliffs of Dover so ably suggests England, suppose we follow through in this fashion. If you ran your eye quickly down the list of poems by John Keats, you'd probably assume that he sprang from a rather scholarly environment and undoubtedly lived in a lofty literary ivory tower. Hymn to Apollo, On Seeing the Elgin Marbles, Sonnet to Homer, and the two odes we're to hear this afternoon, Ode to a Grecian Urn and Ode to a Nightingale. Born in London in 1795, Keats, in reality, was the oldest son of Thomas Keats and Frances Jennings, daughter of a livery stable proprietor. When he was 10 years old, his father was killed by a fall from a horse. His mother remarried within a year, but was soon separated from her new husband and returned to her mother's house in Edmonton, where she raised her family. From such beginnings grew the poet Keats, and though he was never to fulfill a lifelong dream of traveling to those faraway places with the strange-sounding names, he brought them well within his ken, within our ken, in his many beautiful poems. Vincent Price recites two of Keats' best-known odes this afternoon. The special musical settings were composed and will be played by George Antheil. Although acting is Mr. Price's primary interest, he's also a major art collector and sponsor of several of America's most promising young painters. He also lectures on such diverse topics as citizenship, ancient cultures, art, and the stage. Vincent Price reads two odes by John Keats, On a Grecian Urn and To a Nightingale. Mr. Price.
Thou still unravished bride of quietness, thou foster child of silence and slow time, sylvan historian who canst thus express a flowery tale more sweetly than our rhyme. What leaf-fringed legend haunts about thy shape, of deities or mortals or of both, in Tempe or the dales of Arcadia? What men or gods are these? What maidens loath? What mad pursuit? What struggle to escape? What pipes and timbrels? What wild ecstasy? Heard melodies are sweet, but those unheard are sweeter. Therefore, ye soft pipes, play on, not to the sensual ear, but more endeared, pipe to the spirit ditties of no tone. Fair youth beneath the trees, thou canst not leave thy song, nor ever can those trees be bare. Bold lover, never, never canst thou kiss, though winning near the goal, yet do not grieve. She cannot fade, though thou hast not thy bliss. Forever wilt thou love, and she be fair. Ah, happy, happy boughs that cannot shed your leaves, nor ever bid the spring adieu. And happy melodist unwearied, forever piping songs, forever new. More happy love, more happy, happy love, forever warm and still to be enjoyed, forever panting and forever young, all breathing human passion far above, that leaves a heart high sorrowful and cloyed, a burning forehead and a parching tongue. Who are these coming to the sacrifice? To what green altar, O mysterious priest, leadst thou that heifer lowing at the skies, and all her silken flanks with garlands dressed? What little town by river or seashore or mountain built with peaceful citadel is emptied of this folk, this pious morn? And little town, thy streets forevermore will silent be, and not a soul to tell why thou art desolate can e'er return. O Attic shape, fair attitude, with breed of marble men and maidens overwrought, with forest branches and the trodden weed, thou, silent form, dost tease us out of thought, as doth eternity. Cold pastoral, when old age shall this generation waste, thou shalt remain, in midst of other woe than ours, a friend to man, to whom thou sayst, beauty is truth, truth beauty. That is all ye know on earth, and all ye need to know. My heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense, as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains 1 minute past, and Lethewood's had sunk. 'Tis not through envy of thy happy lot, but being too happy in thine happiness, that thou, light-winged dryad of the trees, in some melodious plot of beechen green and shadows numberless, singest of summer in full-throated ease. Oh, for a draught of vintage that hath been cooled a long age in the deep delved earth, tasting of flora and the country green, dance and Provençal song and sunburnt mirth. Oh, for a beaker full of the warm south, full of the true, the blushful hippocrene, with beaded bubbles winking at the brim and purple-stained mouth, that I might drink and leave the world unseen, and with thee fade away into the forest dim. Fade far away, dissolve and quite forget what thou among the leaves hast never known, the weariness, the fever, and the fret. Here where men sit and hear each other groan, where palsy shakes a few sad last gray hairs, where youth grows pale and specter thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrow and leaden-eyed despairs, where beauty cannot keep her lustrous eyes, or new love pine at them beyond tomorrow. Away, away, for I will fly to thee, not charioted by Bacchus and his pods, but on the viewless wings of poesy, though the dull brain perplexes and retards. Already with thee, tender is the night, and haply the queen moon is on her throne, clustered around by all her starry fays. But here there is no light, save what from heaven is with the breezes blown, through verdurous glooms and winding mossy ways. I cannot see what flowers are at my feet, nor what soft incense hangs upon the boughs, but in embalmed darkness guess each sweet wherewith the seasonable month endows the grass, the thicket, and the fruit tree wild. White hawthorn and the pastoral eglantine, fast fading violets covered up in leaves, and mid-May's eldest child, the coming musk-rose, full of dewy wine, the murmurous haunt of flies on summer eves. Darkling, I listen, and for many a time I have been half in love with easeful death. Names in many a mused rhyme, fire my quiet breath. Now more than ever seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain. While thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy, still wouldst thou sing, and I have ears in vain, to thy high requiem become a sod. Thou wast not born for death, immortal bird. No hungry generations tread thee down. The voice I hear this passing night was heard in ancient days by emperor and clown. Perhaps the selfsame song that found a path through the sad heart of Ruth, when sick for home she stood in tears amid the alien corn. The same that oft times hath charmed magic casements, opening on the foam of perilous seas in fairy lands forlorn. Forlorn. The very word is like a bell to toll me back from thee to my soul self. Adieu. The fancy cannot cheat so well as she is famed to do, deceiving him. Adieu. Adieu. Thy plaintive anthem fades past the near meadows, over the still stream, up the hillside, and now 'tis buried deep in the next valley glades. Was it a vision or a waking dream? Fled is that music. Do I wake? Or sleep.
Two odes by John Keats, On a Grecian Urn and To a Nightingale, read by Vincent Price. The musical score was composed and played by George Antheil. Appropriate fanfare from Felix Mendelssohn's incidental music for A Midsummer Night's Dream ushers in our second feature on this Sunday's edition of Anthology. We'll speak now of magic love potions, of an enchanted wood, permanently leased by the king and queen of the fairies, and of the lovers who spent a most confusing evening there, through the courtesy of William Shakespeare. Such are the ingredients for a preview of a program and a performance. Tuesday night at the Metropolitan Opera House, the famed Golden Curtain will rise on this season's first important musical event, the opening of the Old Vic Company's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, starring Maura Shearer, Robert Helpman, and Stanley Holloway. This is the same production which was such a success very recently at the Edinburgh Festival. In fact, it was flown, cast, sets, costumes, and props directly from Scotland to New York. Prior to its opening at the festival, the production was recorded by RCA Victor for a special LP album which will be on sale very shortly. And so, a preview of a program and a performance. RCA Victor has graciously lent us a pre-release pressing of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Tonight at 6:30, you'll be able to hear the album on WNBC. And Tuesday night, of course, A Midsummer Night's Dream opens at the Met. Come with us for a few moments now to that magic wood created by William Shakespeare as the stage for one of his most famous comedies. Bottom, the weaver, wears the head of an ass. Yet, through a magic potion, he's loved by Titania, queen of the fairies, who in turn is still loved by Oberon, her husband. Bottom is played by Stanley Holloway. Maura Shearer is the lovely Titania. Robert Helpman portrays Oberon, the king. And Philip Gard is Puck. Titania sits with Bottom's head resting in her lap. Behind them, Oberon listens, unseen, and rather unhappy by what he has done.
Upon this flowery bed, while I thy amiable cheek do coy, and thick musk roses in thy sleek smooth head, and kiss thy fair large ears, my gentle joy.
Where's Peas Blossom?
Ready?
Scratch my head, Peas Blossom. Where's Mounseer Cobweb?
Ready?
Mounseer Cobweb, good Mounseer. Get you your weapons in your hands and kill me a red-hipped humblebee on top of a thistle. And, good Mounseer, bring me the honey bag. Do not fret yourself too much in the action, Mounseer. And, good Mounseer, have a care the honey bag break not. I would be loath to have you overflown with a honey bag, Signor. Where's Mounseer Mustard Seed?
Ready?
Give me your neef, Mounseer Mustard Seed. Pray you, leave your curtsy, good Mounseer.
What is your will?
Nothing, good Mounseer, but to help Cavalry Cobweb to scratch. I must to the barber's. Methinks I am marvelous hairy about the face. And I am such a tender ass. If my hair do but tickle me, I must scratch.
What, wilt thou hear some music, my sweet love?
I have a reasonable good ear in music. Let's have the tongs and the bones.
Oh, say, sweet love, what thou desirest to eat.
Truly a peck of provender. I could munch your good dry oats. Methinks I have a great desire to a bottle of hay. Good hay, sweet hay hath no fellow.
I have a venturous fairy that shall seek the squirrel's hoard and fetch thee new nuts.
I had rather have a handful or two of dried peas. But I pray you let none of your people stir me. Oh, I have an exposition of sleep come upon me.
Oh. Sleep thou, and I will wind thee in my arms. Fairies, be gone and be always away. So doth the woodbine, the sweet honeysuckle, gently entwist. The female ivy so in rings the barky fingers of the elm. Oh, how I love thee! How I dote on thee.
Welcome, good Robin. Seest thou this sweet sight? Her dotage now I do begin to pity. And now I have the boy, I will undo this hateful imperfection of her eyes. And gentle Puck, take this transformed scalp from off the head of this Athenian swain, that he, awaking when the others do, may all to Athens back again repair, and think no more of this night's accidents, but as the fierce vexation of a dream. But first I will release the fairy queen. Be as thou wast wont to be, see as thou wast wont to see. Dian's bud or Cupid's flower hath such force and blessed power. Now, my Titania, wake you, my sweet queen.
My Oberon, what visions have I seen? Methought I was enamored of an ass.
There lies your love.
How came these things to pass? Oh, how mine eyes do loathe his visage now.
Silence a while. Robin, take off this head. Titania, music call and strike more dead than common sleep of all these five the sense.
Music, oh, music, such as charmeth sleep.
Sound music. Come, my queen, take hands with me and rock the ground whereon these sleepers be.
So, the first of four pairs of confused lovers are reunited in Act 4, Scene 1 of A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare. Tonight at 6:30, you'll hear the new RCA Victor album with the Old Vic Company here on WNBC. And Tuesday night at the Metropolitan Opera House, the production opens with its three exciting stars, Maura Shearer, Robert Helpman, and Stanley Holloway. So, Anthology, number 28, dated Sunday, September 19th, 1954. Next week, Poetry Americana, a visit with Archibald MacLeish to hear him read some of his best-known poems, and Howard Hanson's Drum Taps, based on the poems of Walt Whitman, with the composer conducting the Eastman Rochester Symphony Orchestra and the chorus of the Eastman School of Music. David Myers featured baritone. Anthology is brought to you in cooperation with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA. 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan. John Malcolm Brennan, director. The program is produced by Steve White, written and directed by Draper Lewis for WNBC. Until next Sunday, this is Fleetwood wishing you good afternoon and good reading.